so we have 2 hours to talk. Yeah. So, I mean, you don't have to do the full 2 hours, but
okay.
But that's our time slot.
Okay.
So just to tell you a little bit about me, I've been working in cultural surveys for about 4 years now.
Okay.
I work in their Hilo office, which is very much smaller than the main office here in Oahu.
Okay.
I graduated from UH Hilo. I got my degree in Hawaiian Studies and Anthropology, and I wanted to have a job like this. You know, when I got out of college, I was working at the hotel, and doesn't feed the na'au, you know, when you do things like that. So
yeah. This is good. Hawaiian Studies, you said. Yeah. Wow. So you're fluent. You can speak Hawaiian. You're fluent.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Oh,
I mean, you know, when people ask me if I can speak fluent,
that's great.
You know, I'm okay. Like, I wouldn't say that I speak fluent because I'm still kind of rusty.
Because we're always looking for teachers to teach in our Hawaiian Immersion Early College Program. Oh my gosh, we need teachers. If people can get their degrees, so they have their masters and whatever, right? And then they can speak olelo. Oh, that's like a gem. We want those people, right? Because we have our Hawaiian Immersion Early College Program, and those are really hard teachers to find. Yeah.
Right. I wonder why, though.
Because there's not enough people who are fluent in the language and meet the MQs of the master's degree in whatever the field is.
Oh,
those are rare. Because, like, I teach history, right? Or I used to teach history. And I need a master's in history in order to teach history at the community colleges, right? So you're looking for someone who has a master's in history and can olelo. That's hard to come by. That combination is hard to come by. You can find people with bachelor's degrees and olelo. You can find people who can olelo, but try to find the combination of a master's plus olelo. That's hard.
Right.
That's a hard one. So if you know of anybody who can olelo and they got a master's degree, send them my way. And probably got some work for them, especially if they can teach online.
Because
we have this online program that's fully online, Hawaiian Studies degree. And it's fully online, 8 weeks courses, and it's cohorted. So we promise you in 5 semesters you'll get out. And every semester you're taking 4 classes, but only 2 classes at a time. Yeah, and so that's all online. So we got half of our students are on the continental U.S.,
Wow.
That's cool, huh?
Yeah.
And they're Hawaiians living on the continental U.S. Think of all the Hawaiians who have moved away, the diaspora, right?
Yeah.
We just started that during the pandemic in fall of 2020. Yeah. So we're going to start our fourth cohort. Will start in spring 2022. And then our fifth cohort, which is our maximum capacity of 200, our fifth cohort would start in fall of 2022. Yeah. Hawaiian Studies online, fully online.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, the pandemic, a lot of... You know, it did bad for some people, but also a lot of good came.
Right. And then we found out that we can hire people. We can't hire people to teach online from the mainland or from the continent, but we can hire people from neighbor islands to teach online for us as long as they live in Hawaii. So that's cool. So there's online classes.
My mind is already...
Do you know people? Who can you call, right? Yeah. So like when we need to fill... We think of the whole degree of what we have. And so, So we start off with Hawaiian language. So all the way up to 202. So you got... In 2 semesters, they can be pao because we got 8 weeks at a time, right? So you do Hawaiian 101, first 8 weeks, Hawaiian 102, second 8 weeks, second semester, Hawaiian 201, Hawaiian 202. You can finish all the way to 202, not in... four semesters but in two because of the way it's laid out. So as a full-time working adult, it's mostly the people who are attracted to it are the older students, the non-traditional students. They got kids they're raising, and they got work and whatnot, so they like it's online asynchronous, so they can kind of do it in the middle of the night if they need to, right? And they can get through it like that. We're promising that we're going to get you those classes and they're going to be posted for you, so you can actually finish in 5 semesters.
Freedom and flexibility.
Yeah. And it's great because you're only focusing on 2 classes at a time, so you can manage that if it's an intense 8-week course if you only got 2 at a time. If you got 4 classes in 16 weeks, that's hard, right?
Yeah.
But if you got only 2 at a time, you're just focusing on 2 at a time, and you can actually move faster. So it's the model, it's the best practice model for returning adults. Returning adults who want to return to school, get their degree. And so many people miss their Hawaiian roots. So many people born on the mainland, they know that they're Hawaiian, but they don't know about the culture, history, or the language. And others who have moved away because, the cost of living, right? So they move away, and they're raising kids over there, but they really want to be able to pass on that knowledge, but they don't know it themselves. So that's who we attracted. This is the pandemic. It's a good thing of the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's amazing students. Absolutely amazing students. So it was just an idea I had back in July. 2020, and then we launched it in October of 2020. Crazy, huh?
Wow.
That's windward for you. We do that kind of stuff, right? And it's helped our enrollment for our Hawaiian Studies degree. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's kind of amazing. But anyway, I'm getting off track. I'm not talking about the fish pond.
Okay. Anyway. So we have like some set questions that I'm gonna ask, but if it prompts something in your head and you
just go off, yeah, it's okay. It's okay to go off. Yeah. Scream. Okay. Talk story kind.
Yeah. There's just some key things that I need to hit. So I guess the first question is, what is your relationship to this local Ia?
Okay. My relationship to this local Ia. So officially I served on the board. I believe it was, when did I serve on the board? It was during the whole transition of when they went from Waikoloa Local Fish Pond Preservation Society. That's the board I served on. Mm-hmm. And we transitioned to give it over to Pacific American Foundation. So we dissolved our board so that we could actually hand over the pond to the Pacific American Foundation, because they had a HUD grant to purchase the land. So I think, I'm trying to remember when that was that I actually served on the board. I believe it was only for about, okay, wait, can I cheat and look at my phone? I got my CV on top of my phone. I'm getting to the point where I'm at this.
Let's get the facts.
I'm getting to the point where it's like, if I don't look at the official, the dates, I'm going to forget. Because if I tell you when it was and I don't actually go look at the official dates, then that's not good, right? Right? So let me see. Hold on. My bookmarks. So I actually have a website, right? Because, and then I put my my stuff there on the website. Because I traveled in the footsteps of Queen Kapi'olani. I retraced her footsteps. That was my sabbatical back in 2016, all the way to London. So I did that. And so, so is that going to be the one? That's not the one. Okay, hold on. Okay, I know where my website is. Let me just flip my website. So it's in the footsteps of Queen Kapi'olani, right? In the footsteps of Queen Kapi'olani.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I did that. That was my sabbatical. In the footsteps of Kapi'olani. WordPress.com. WordPress.com. And from there, I got my CV up there. Yeah. So let me see. Let me double check. WordPress.com. Well, my memory is not going very good these days. So I'm going to get the actual, because I got my CV up there.
I can
actually pull up my actual years and I can tell you when I serve. Sorry. Oh, Lolo. My CV's there, and then I can look up the dates. So I get them on top of the CV. Okay. Because otherwise I'm going to forget. Okay. So, hold on. Where's the... All right, so I served on the board of, Waikoloa Local Fish Pond Preservation Society. I served on the board from 2011 to 2015. Okay, okay. So 2015 is when we transferred it over. That's why I stopped in 2015. We transferred it over to PAF, Pacific American Foundation, so the board was dissolved. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 2011 to 2015, I officially served on the board. However, I actually learned about the fish pond way back when I did the NAPALI, the National Pacific American Leadership Institute. I did that it was like a 1 week institute back in June of 2005. And that's when I met Herb Lee. So Herb came and he spoke to us and he told us about this fish pond calling to him, the kahea of the fish pond, right? Calling to him. And I heard about the fish pond. I kind of had learned about it or knew that it existed, but I never really learned about how it called to him and that whole story associated with it. So that was in June of 2005 when I went on that 1 week Nepali leadership experience, which kind of blew my mind and kind of shifted the way I think about leadership, and I kind of moved towards servant leadership. And so that kind of influenced me and what I wanted to do. So, but it took me about, I think, to 2006 before I finally showed up at the pond. So I had heard about it, I learned about it from Herb. It was sort of calling me, but then I was ignoring it for about a good year and a half, I think, until finally I came one day for a work day, you know, where they do these Saturday work days. And I was just hooked. I think that was 2006 or so. And then I couldn't get enough of it. I kept coming every single work day when they'd have them like four times in a year. It was on a Saturday morning, just come spend the time here. And I just enjoyed it so much that I started bringing my students. I was teaching Hawaiian history at Kapi'olani Community College at the time. So I did 24 years teaching there at KCC. And so I started bringing my students servant leadership. Service learning, we called it, for the students. And then when I brought the faculty, I would call it was servant leadership kind of a thing, right? So I wanted them to learn by doing. And so we would come on the work days and we would go out there, and I love to pull the seaweed or the limu out of the pond. There used to be tons and tons of limu. So over all the days from I guess 2006 when I first started it till 2015 when I stopped on the board. I guess I've done many of Saturdays coming to the pond, and every time it got to the point on the board meetings when we're dividing up the task or who's going to lead which task, they never even have to ask, yeah, because it's like Colette Limu, right? Yeah, Limu. I just love Limu. So I tried all the different jobs, you know, over the years. I tried pulling out the mangroves when we first had mangroves were in the back area, and they were like the little kicky smaller ones, so you could actually reach in and pull them out. So that was kind of like my first job I ever did. That was a stinky job, because if you ever pulled mangroves, oh my god, you pull it out and it's like it smells like sewage, right? And we're not too far from the sewage plant, right? So it's like, oh, this is stink, right? But I that was my first task, and I remember doing that with my former teacher. So I used to be a student at KCC, and then my teacher Nelda Quincel, she kind of started the whole service learning program. She was a botany teacher and she did this whole service learning thing. And so I didn't do service learning when I was her student back in the 80s, but by the time I came back to teach in the 90s, and then I was teaching Hawaiian history by 97, by the early 2000s, she's still doing service learning with her students, and now I'm coming out to the pond with her. So my first experience here in 2006 was working alongside my former teacher, Nelda Quincel, who's since retired, right? And we're pulling out mangroves. That was my first job, and I got addicted. So even though it was stinky, it was a lousy work, I was muddy, I was wet, it was yucky, but it felt good. There was something about getting my hands in the mud, getting my feet dirty. I think I grew up in Kaimuki and Honolulu, city girl, right? I graduated Kaimuki High, you know, 84. So I'm a city girl. I didn't get enough mud, I think, or enough dirt, or enough hands in the mud, right? So it was, I don't know, it was something about the pond. So after that, I was hooked, right? So that was, I think, 2006. After that, I'm hooked. So by 2011, I guess they saw me at every single workday. So they asked me, Colette, do you want to join the board, right? I said, why would you want me on the board? I don't know nothing about being
your
on
presence,
the board.
Your commitment, right?
It's like, it's just because I like pulling out the, I eventually got to this, I did the seaweed. So I tried mangroves, I tried the other mangroves, many different jobs I've done over the years. But it was a limu that I love pulling out. And so we got pictures of me standing with the crew, right, with all these mounds of tons of limu we pulled out on a, you know, 4-hour workday.
Yeah.
So it would be pretty amazing. I was just addicted to it, yeah. I just loved getting, there was something about this pond that just called to me, and I just kept to keep coming.
Yeah.
So now we know. It was 2011 to 2015, yeah. 4 years on the board, but prior to that, it started in 2006 when I first came out here. Yeah. Yeah, and so I brought students and I brought faculty, and they got to experience it too.
What about your family?
Well, no. So my husband, he's not into the getting dirty and muddy. He said, I can do that at home if I'm just working the yard, right? So too much like yard work. No, you can go. He's very supportive that way. I only managed to bring my son one time. Even him is kind of like, no, it's your thing, Mom.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But he did come one time when it was kind of a closed Saturday. It wasn't open to the community. It was a special Saturday. We had invited certain people, and it included somebody who was visiting the islands, and she was like a snowboarding Olympic champion or something. She was like this amazing person, and she just happened to be vacationing in Hawaii, and her friend said, why don't you come to the pond with us today? And so we were pulling out limu that particular Saturday. That was the one time I was able to convince my son to come. Otherwise, not so much. But it's been sort of my thing, and they support me in that way, because they know that, you know, I come home and I'm cleaning up all of the mud that's on me, and I'm washing down my tabis, and you know, and all of that. So they're always supportive, but I could never get, except for that one time with my son, I could never get them to actually come and help.
Yeah.
My husband would come when we had potlucks here. Just like the other board members, they would bring their spouses too, you know, but without, not into the working bit of it, but that's okay, you know.
Okay.
He had too much of the, you know, cutting the trees and doing the yard work stuff. He goes, nah, too much of that. But,
so now that the local is under PATH.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. That was the goal, right? So when I joined the board,
to save it,
so we were just preserving it. So it's funny because we had a board, and our kuleana was to protect it, to restore it, to do all that, but we didn't own it. So the goal was always to try to own it.
That
so,
must have been scary.
Yeah, because every single, oh my gosh, the board meetings that we were on, because I was on the board from 2011 to 2015, so we were talking about this transition. They already had the HUD grant, and it had a limited time that you actually have to complete the project, right?
Yeah.
And so Herb, he's been kind of amazing. He got that grant, so we had the money to purchase it. But this pond has gone through multiple owners, right? So Herb knows the whole crazy history about all the owners of the Bayview Golf Course, right? Mm-hmm. And over time. So it was the church of the church. It was a church that had purchased it, and they were the ones that allowed us, and they were working this deal to allow us to buy the pond. And then it worked out, because when the church was trying to sell and whatnot, they basically, the agreement we had worked out where we get access to this and that this would be preserved was something that they built into it. So whoever would buy it afterwards would know that we'd have this. So this is pretty amazing that we're able to work that out. So it took, poor Herb Lee, he knows the stories of all the crazy owners of this pond. And so he's got the, I mean, if talk about oral history, that guy's got it. He knows the whole story, right? Yeah. I only picked it up, you know, as a teacher coming in, kind of experiencing it, bringing in my students, bringing in other faculty to experience it. It was just learning by doing, yeah?
Yeah.
It's all about learning by doing. That's kind of what we're up to. Yeah, learning by doing. And so that's what we did.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so now, What is your role now with the fish pond?
You know,
now that you're off the board, now that it's under PAC.
Yeah, so I'm not really involved, and I haven't been since the board kind of we handed it over, and that was the goal because we always knew it that we weren't going to exist forever. The idea was to hand it over to whoever owned it, and that would be PAC, right? That was the point. So I haven't been that involved. In 2015, I started my sabbatical, right? So I was on a year sabbatical, 2015-16. So spring of 2016, I went on my big journey all the way to London, following in Queen Kumpiolani's footsteps. When I get back from that journey, I left KCC and I got my job at Windward. So I'm a dean at Windward now. So I haven't been teaching since my last time I taught was spring of 2015, which is probably the last time I was here and involved at the pond. So I've been crazy busy as dean. I haven't had any students to bring out to the pond because I don't teach anymore.
Right.
And so
I've different kuleana.
Yeah. So I kind of missed the pond. I've come back a few times since then for work days, you know, and just kind of jumped in to do work days. But that's about it. So it's been actually at least 2 years that I've been here. So I've seen, now I'm looking at, when I went and I walked on the wall earlier, it's like, oh my gosh, the wall is so amazing because they've really built it up in the time that I've been gone. So I think it's been 2 or 3 years since I've been here. It's been a while. So, different kuleana, yeah. And it's kind of took me away from the pond. And we didn't have a board anymore that was sort of, on the board before was like a working board. So when we would meet, and we'd meet at Windward Community College in the conference room, and when we'd meet, we'd kind of divvy up the work and plan for the work days. That's kind of our whole kuleana was make sure that we're, what needs work? Do we need to work on the wall? Do we need to work on the mangroves? We thought we'd never get rid of those mangroves, and this year they finally got rid of the last mangroves,
yeah.
Right? We had so much limu. Now the limu doesn't come into the pond anymore. Something happened with the limu. I think it was during the whole king's tides or all the changes in the climate. Something happened. But we used to pull out tons of limu before. Now that's not a thing. So I haven't really. So it's kind of amazing. It's been so a while since I've been here. I've seen Herb Lee at different functions and whatnot. Oh, it's Pippa. Okay.
Sorry, we might have to move.
It's one of these passing showers again, right? What do you think? You getting wet?
Yeah.
It's gonna pass. Okay, we go on. You wanna try to stop him?